Welcome to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston, where we will learn refreshing truth that is straight from the Bible.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments. God bless you all. Today we'll be looking at Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And before we look at this fascinating verse, let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask that wisdom and truth will flow forth out of your Bible today. Open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to understand your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's no argument with that in the Bible. That is the flat out beginning statement of the Bible. It doesn't even try to argue with evolution. It just says God did it. There is this great spiritual being called God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the word for God here in the Hebrew is Elohim. It means plural. It means three or more. And so God is plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he created this vast three-dimensional universe, plus time, of course. And he set it in motion, and he supervises every single thing that happens on it, so that not a sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing about it. He rules the planets, he rules the seas, he rules the skies. There is one God overall. There are not many gods. There's not a sun god and a moon god and a rock god and so on and so forth. The world of the Marvel movies, where they have a god Thor and another god this and another god that, or demigods in those cases, that world is a pluralistic world. It's not the truthful world of the Bible. And we don't have polytheism. We don't believe in many gods. We believe in one God who created all things through Christ. And everything was created through him and for him and by him. And through him all things exist. So Jesus is the Word. He's the Logos. He's the reason behind the universe. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is there at creation, hovering over creation, as the manifest power of God. And it says in Psalm 104 that the Holy Spirit goes and renews the face of creation on a daily basis. So the Holy Spirit is not just a feeling in your heart. The Holy Spirit is involved with creation, making sure that the grass grows and the rain falls and everything else. So you've got to expand your idea of God a little bit. The Spirit is not a tingling. The Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is deeply involved in every aspect of the laws of nature. And we know there's one God because we look at the universe and the same laws apply everywhere. The same laws of physics work on the moon and on Mars and on Earth and everywhere else that we've sent a probe. The laws of physics are reliable across the entire universe. One mind, one God has made them all. So we find when we look into the deep parts of relativity and quantum mechanics and group theory and something I studied called X-ray crystallography, or into the behavior of neutrinos. And there was a wonderful paper came out on that recently. I'm kind of interested in that myself. I was a scientist originally. So we find as we look into the universe, we see a spectacularly deep and wonderful order, a mathematical order to all things that's precise and powerful. And there is one God, there is one universal mind, there is one great spiritual God who is God and Father over all and from whom everything flows. He is the source of the universe. That is our God. That's the God of the Bible, the God who created the heavens and the earth. Not the Egyptian gods, the rock god and the God that supervised hell and all the other gods of the Egyptians. One was like a frog and so on and so forth. No. We don't have the Egyptian gods. We don't have the Babylonian gods. We don't have the Greek or the Norse gods. We have one God overall, our Heavenly Father. And that's the God that we pray to. And it's God who answers prayer and the God who strengthens us. And so God is defined here in the Bible as the God who created the heavens and the earth. He's the only God that exists. All others are mere imitations. All others are lies. So when we go to the book of Revelation, right at the other end of it, we find out that there's a big battle over which God is which. Of course, the Antichrist is running around and saying that he's God. And in Revelation 14, verse 6, we see this. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of waters. So what's this eternal gospel? What's the gospel that has to go out to every tribe and tongue and nation? It is, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the seas and the springs of waters. So you see, the eternal gospel is the gospel of the Creator God. It's the news that that guy with the big idol over there in Babylon, the Antichrist, he's not God. That Antichrist is going to claim to be God or to be greater than God, but there is only one God, and he created the heavens and the earth and the seas and the springs of water. And there's a wonderful joke going around the internet. And some scientist has an argument with God and says, God, I don't need you anymore. We don't need you. We can make human beings out of mud. See, we got some mud here, and we do this and we do that, and pour some chemicals, and there is a living human being. And God looks at the scientist and says, get your own mud. In other words, the scientist was starting with something that God had already made, which was the mud. And God says, get your own mud. And we'd have to get our own universe. And God has created the universe, and all our scientific experiments and the things that I did in cobalt chemistry many, many years ago, they were using God's existing universe and studying God's existing universe. Good science studies the mind of God and all that he's created and all that he's done and all the wisdom that he has put into his creation. And in Job 28, we find that wisdom is right there, right at the beginning of God's works, the first of God's works. We find that in Proverbs 8 as well. God's wisdom was right there beside God creating the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and the springs of water. Now, in Genesis 1:1, it uses the plural of heavens. This is a complicated topic, but there are multiple heavens. We know of at least three. The first heaven, where the birds fly. The second heaven, where the angels and demons fight back and forth. And the third heaven, which is a holy place, a sacred place, where God's throne is. That's the third heaven that Paul visited in 2 Corinthians 12. So if there's a third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12, there has to be a first and a second heaven. And the first heaven is the prince of the power of the air. He lives there. That's the devil. Ephesians 2, he's running around there. That's the air where the birds fly. So the devil at the moment has been cast down and confined to the atmosphere around the earth. Eventually, he's going to go up into the second heaven and fight all the angels under Michael's thing. And Revelation 12, he's going to be cast down to the earth. So there's a first heaven, a second heaven, and a third heaven. There are multiple heavens. And that's confirmed in the Hebrew. That refers to the heavens as Shamayim. That's a plural word. It ends in I-M. So the heavens are Shamayim. There's multiple heavens in the Bible. So God created all of those heavens, all those heavenly realms, and he created the earth on which we dwell and which life has come forth. He's also created all the planets, all the stars, all the molecules around us. This is God's universe, and it proceeds from his wisdom and his power. Now, let's go over to Revelation 4 a little bit earlier in the book of Revelation in verse 11. Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. So here are all the angels and all the living beings. They're bowing down before God, and they say, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. The moon exists because God wanted the moon to exist. This earth exists because God thought of it and brought it into being. Same with the sun and the stars and the oak trees and the ants. Why God invented mosquitoes is completely beyond me, but he has his reasons. So God has brought everything into existence through the exercise of his will, and that includes you, and that includes me, and God doesn't make junk. So you are a creation of the Lord God Almighty. He's brought you into existence for a purpose here on this earth and to have eternal life. And God wants you to be saved. He wants you to know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's created you for a great and wonderful purpose. And so God wants you to fulfill your purpose on this earth because he is your creator, and one day you're going to face the judgment for what you've done with God's creation and what you've done with the life that he's given you. But that judgment will be by grace if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And let's have a look at that in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When you become a Christian, you become God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. You have a special destiny on your life, and he's got good works that he's prepared beforehand for you to do, so your life has meaning and purpose. And if you're feeling that your life at the moment doesn't have much meaning and purpose, think on this. Think that you have a creator God who created you, who wants you to be saved, who wants to love you, who wants to redeem you, and who wants to give you a special destiny in life, and who's prepared good works for you to do. He's given you some exciting task that's going to use your gifts and your ability and your mind and your emotions and your will and your relationships and everything around you. God's got you in place to do mighty works for him, and you're to reach out and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to do mighty works because you are my creator and you are my God. And you're going to bow down and worship not some tin god and not some little god that's been made out of gold or silver, but the invisible God, the one true God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Remember, God is your creator. He created you. He created your friends. He created your family. He created everything about you. He knows you inside and out. He knows your body before it was formed. It says that in Psalm 139. He knows how your bones are put together in the womb. He knows when you're born. He knows when you're going to die. All that's figured out in the plan of God. So I'm asking you now to reach out to the God who is in the heavens, the God who is on the earth, the God who has a plan for your life, the God who sent Jesus into this world to save you. And I want you to cast your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I need to be saved right now. I need to believe in you. I need to have my sins forgiven. I need to turn away from the junk that's in my life, and I need to enter into my eternal destiny that you've prepared for me and all the good works that you've got me to do. So don't keep on living a meaningless life. Give up that marijuana, give up those drugs or anything else you're doing that's crazy. Walk away from any affairs and nonsense that's going on in your life and reach out to the God who's made you to be a good person and do good things. Reach out to the God who is in heaven and who loves you and who sees everything you do and cares about you, because God loves you and God's on your side. So reach out and ask for salvation right now. Pray, God, if you're there, save me. God, if you're there, help me to believe in you. I turn my life over to you right now. I ask to be forgiven of my sins. I ask the Holy Spirit to dwell in me. Please save me and make me a Christian right now so I can be in heaven with you. Pray that prayer and you'll be all right, and God's going to take care of you. You need to reach out to the Lord, seek him while he can be found. He's your creator God. This world's coming to an end one day, sooner rather than later perhaps. And we all live a little while and then we die. And before that happens, we need to find Jesus. And I'm asking you to find Jesus. Jesus is a part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's sent for your salvation. Reach out to Jesus right now and ask him into your heart. This is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, signing off. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston. This is a faith ministry, and if the Lord has touched your heart, you may give securely online at eternity.church.